Thank you and welcome everyone. Thank you so much for making yourselves available for this meeting of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. I'm going to ask Brandy to take the role.
Thank you, Judge Kelly.
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, present.
Judge Fannin.
Here.
Judge Sachs.
Here.
Ms. Bartleson is absent today. Ms. Cameron. Ms. Fleming might be late. Mr. Landry is absent today. And then Mr. Taniguchi.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so we do have a quorum then, Brandy, that's correct?
Yes.
Thank you. As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. And if everybody's had an opportunity to review the minutes, is there maybe a motion to approve the minutes from the August 15, 2022 R&E subcommittee meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Following the John Conklin methodology, is there anybody that opposes the passing of the minutes? Any abstentions? Okay, we'll consider the motion carried and the minutes approved. Thank you. Written public comments were not received for the meeting, so this concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. And our first item of discussion, Mr. Yamasaki is going to handle.
Yes, thank you very much, Judge Kelly. This particular item is titled the 2022-23 Trial Court Trust Fund Allocation Adjustments for the Judicial Council Information Technology Office. It is an action item. Just a quick description is it's a request to increase by $424,000 the existing council approved 2223 PCTF allocation, which is $689,000 for the data center and cloud services. Additionally, there is a request to increase, or actually earmark $200,000 out of the TCTF allocation for the 22-23 fiscal year to create a new electronic courts of appeal record and transcript program. I think many of us know that to be called eCart. And on this item, we're fortunate enough to have Ms. Heather Pettit present information on just exactly what it involves and the net impact that it's going to have on the TCTF. So Ms. Pettit, please.
Great. Thank you so much for allowing me to present to you all. It's wonderful to see you today. So the first thing I think it's important to note, this has a zero impact actually on the Trial Court Trust Fund. Most of the programs that we do, with the exception of the ones that we approve through the IMF, are net zero. And because we do a billing process through the Schedule C to the trial court. So both of these programs are for trial court services that we provide that they pay for. So the very first one is explicitly for Microsoft services. The state of California negotiated 2 or 3 years ago a really outstanding contract with Microsoft to get reduced costs in procurement of their services. The state of California did not want to deal with all of our entities, so they had requested that JC act as the intermediary to do the procurement of licenses for Microsoft. So this request for an increase is that we had some additional courts who decided to renew their licensing. And I'm guessing we will probably see this over the next couple of years as they roll off of their old contracts to get onto this brand new pricing model for the state. And so they are, this is the reflection of their request to upgrade and renew their licensing for Microsoft, which is the Office 365 environment and some of the other cloud services. And what we will do is as we buy it outright for them, they will pay into it with the Schedule C process, and then it'll come back through the trial court trust fund. So it is a net, but it's more than what our allocation currently is. The second item, which is the eCart, we highly likely will not actually use this money, and the courts will not be having to pay for this money and pay us back, because the technology committee generously approved modernization monies that were additional leftover monies to fund this program and some of the expenses around it. We use modernization money to actually pay for some of the hosting for this e-cart. We have over 30, I think it's 35 courts currently using the system. We're trying to roll it out to all 58 courts if possible. And so our goal is to ultimately, you know, find that money. And if we don't have the money available to us, then what we will do, of course, is the same model of, you know, Schedule C process and the approval of the allocation. But the amount that we set aside was the 200. We pro rata shared it out to the courts who are using it. Each have their 30,000, whatever their amount is based upon their allocation size. And that was what we come to the 200. But as I said, we most likely won't use that this year because we do have additional funding that was allocated. So, but we wanted to have it available to prepare you in case this happens annually. So you kind of get the process that we're going to be going through. And that's really the, in a nutshell, is there any questions for me?
Any questions?
Yeah. I actually have a question about the e-cart. My understanding is that was just a temporary allocation from the modernization fund. In future years, the courts will have to pay for a share of it, won't they?
You know, we will have to see about the generosity of the technology committee who does the allocations for the mod funding. So what we're going to do is we're going to pitch based upon the amount of courts that come on, how much it's going to cost us. Because one of the thing is that y'all were paying for it, the old version of it that was developed by a vendor. We're trying to make it more cost effective. So the goal is if you do have to pay, it'll be very small amount. And if we do have money available in the modernization funds, we would want to use that. So right now, this year, we had the money available. We're going to continue it. You know, and these are specifically for branch-wide programs. The other thing that we're looking to do, and this is probably more information that you all need, is actually take it and develop it even further so it has some more benefits for the courts of appeal. So there's an opportunity there to how we would spread the cost out. So that's one of the things we're also looking at. But yes, technically, yes, 1 year, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to try to continue to fund it as much as we possibly can.
You know, the point that Neil had mentioned is an area that I'm hoping we can continue to tease out. The technology itself, as it relates specifically to e-cart, is of broad benefit, certainly for the trial courts, but also to the courts of appeal, because they're able to receive the transcripts much faster and in a digital form. So perhaps this can be part of a broader discussion as we go forward. To sustain it. I know right now we've got a handful of courts, maybe two handfuls of courts, but hopefully folks will recognize the opportunity to leverage the technology to benefit them in the management of the transcripts. So I think it's a great program and really excited to have the opportunity to help us continue to modernize the things that we've got going on. So great, great work by, I think, Los Angeles, as well as the work by you, Heather, in helping support this particular program. Yeah, so with that, I'm sorry.
I have a great team.
The program is super efficient for the clerks who have to mm-hmm. assemble the deals transcripts.
Without a doubt, moving away from hard copy is definitely a win any way you look at it. So are there any other questions? No. So with that, I'd be happy to hear a motion by anyone to support the recommendations, which are included on page 6 of the materials. There are two recommendations, and if anybody would like to make a motion.
Jed Sachs will make the motion. We approve both items.
Great. And I'll second.
Judge Sachs has moved and seconded by Judge Fannin. I'm going to ask if there are any further discussions. Not hearing any, I'm going to adopt Judge Conklin's approach. And that is there anybody who is opposed to the motion and second that has been made on this particular item? Hearing none, seeing none, are there any abstentions? Hearing and seeing none, Judge Kelly, this item passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nicely done. All right, that takes us to our second item on the agenda. The $550,000 increase is requested to the existing council approved 2022-23 TCTF allocation of $650,000 for elder abuse program reimbursements. So this item is a consideration of the recommendation to adjust the 2223 TCTF allocation, and we'll hear from Rose Lane from Budget Services, who will present on this item. Ms. Lane?
Thank you, Judge Kelly. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rose Lane, and I am a Senior Budget Analyst with Budget Services. So this report is to assist the subcommittee in considering a recommendation to adjust the current year trial court trust fund allocation amount for elder abuse program reimbursements to the trial courts. So to provide some background, the 2000 Budget Act provided $1.2 million to address court workload pursuant to Assembly Bill 59. This bill authorized elders and dependent adults to seek emergency protective orders to protect them from non-relative cohabitants for non-financially related abuses. AB 59 also created a new protective order for elder and dependent abuse, which included financial abuse. So since the 2001 to 2002 fiscal year, courts have submitted reimbursement requests each quarter to the Judicial Council for each elder and dependent abuse filing. In fiscal year 2005 to 2006, a permanent redirection of a portion of the $1.2 million was adopted by the council in response to a decline in filings at that time. So this action left $300,000 annual allocation to fund reimbursements. But more recently, in 21-22, an allocation increase was approved by the council due to increased filings. So the allocation was increased by $350,000, which provided a total of $650,000 annually to fund reimbursements. The number of protective orders continue to increase, and based on available data and projections, today's request is for an increase of $550,000 to the existing allocation amount of $650,000 for a total of $1.2 million. The recommendation for this increase is included on page 8 of your materials, and upon approval, the recommendation will be considered by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, the Judicial Branch Budget Committee, and then the Judicial Council at its May business meeting. So that concludes our report, and Budget Services is happy to take any questions you have.
Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Lane? Thank you very much. That was a wonderful presentation, very thorough. So the recommendation, as Ms. Lane indicated, is on page 8 of your materials. If there are no questions, would anybody entertain a motion to adopt the recommendation?
I'll move to adopt the recommendation.
Ms. Fannin, thank you. A second?
Judge Sachs will second.
Thank you, Judge Sachs. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none and seeing no hands raised, I will then, once again, following the John Conklin methodology, is there anyone who is opposed to the motion to adopt the recommendation? Hearing none, no hands or no motions. Any abstentions from the vote? Seeing nothing, okay, the recommendation then passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Ms. Lane. I appreciate your work on this.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, members of our subcommittee, that concludes the agenda items. And while we have TCTF and IMF allocations as standing reoccurring items for the subcommittee every spring, with our upcoming meeting, just as a reminder, scheduled for April 13, there could be other items that occur that will require our attention throughout the year, as today's items did. We will keep members apprised of any action items as they arise. And unless there's anything else for the good of the order, going once, going twice. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much.